Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for subscribing and listening and telling your friends and your family and being a part of the About Last Night podcast family. We appreciate all your tweets and emails. Been having some really fun episodes lately, and today is no different. Our guest today, you may recognize her from Silicon Valley, from Californication, from all of her hilarious YouTube videos and sketches, from television and internet stardom. She's the AT&T girl, Lily, from all the AT&T commercials. And she's also one of the stars of the new Yahoo original series, Other Space, from our buddy Paul Feig. Which premieres April 14th on Yahoo. You got to check it out. This was a really fun episode. Milana, we met briefly at the screening for Spy, which is Paul Feig and Melissa McCarthy's next movie coming out in May that I've got a little part in. That comes out, actually, I think in the first week of June. So Milana and I were both at the screening. We met briefly, and then I asked her if she'd come on to the podcast and promote Other Space. And she's just the most adorable, lovable thing on the planet. And you know, everybody thinks that who meets her, and you guys are going to think that after you listen to her. She's hilarious. She's fun. She came with us to the April Foolishness Kevin and Bean show, which was last night. I'm recording this intro on Sunday, so I guess yesterday. If you're listening to this on Monday when the episode comes out, like a good ABLN listener. And she came with us and kicked it at the show. She's been a huge Kevin and Bean fan her whole life, so we pretty much made her make a wish come true. And the show, by the way, was unbelievable. Brad and I are going to do a recap show, but it was just crazy. 6,000 people at the Shrine, and it was bananas. More to come on that. Follow Milana on Twitter at Mint Milana, MintMilana. Follow her on Instagram at the same name. She performs at UCB a lot. She does stand-up around town. She posts about it, so when she posts about it, check her out. And, of course, Other Space on Yahoo, April 14th. She's one of the stars of that. It's going to be hilarious. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. This weekend, April 10th and 11th, I will be headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store in San Diego, California, one of the best clubs in the country. Always so pumped when I go there. Two shows each night, 8 and 10 o'clock. Get your tickets at comedystore.com. Also, April 14th, I will be at the Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock for the Comedy Juice show, headlining that. And then April 15th, I'll be back at the Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock with Ben Glebe. And then at the Hollywood Improv at 10 o'clock that night as well on April 15th. Get your tickets at improv.com. Brad Williams will be at the Parlor Live in Seattle, Washington, my hometown, for one night only, April 9th at 7:30. Get your tickets at parlorlive.com. And on April 10th, he'll be in Vegas at South Point Casino for the Dirty Show, 12:30 in the morning. Great time to go see comedy. It's filthy. It's fun. It's Vegas. There's a dwarf. April 16th through the 18th, Hyenas Comedy Club. Brad will be there in Fort Worth, Texas. Go see him there. And, of course, get your ABLN merch on estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. We got new T-shirts and mugs out with the Titanic picture. I can't stress enough how dope these shirts are. If you guys want to support the pod, go pick one up. Go get a mug and start your morning and day off right. And then listen to the podcast while you drink your beverage out of your mug. I'm not going to tell you what to drink. Coffee, booze, Gatorade, booze, Gatorade, coffee combo. Do whatever the fuck you want. Just drink it out of the ABLN mug and make your day right. And of course, keep subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. Rate and comment on the iTunes page. Listen to it on Stitcher, your Android, your iPhone, the podcast app, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for all past episodes. And keep enjoying the fun. Speaking of fun, now that we got the tour dates out of the way, the Twitter handles out of the way, the merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a very fun episode of the About Last Night podcast with our new buddy, Milana Weintraub.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
How do you feel about the April Fool's, like what's going too far? Like, we were just talking about this. A buddy of ours, people posted that he died today. And I for sure thought it was real. And I was like, and I had a very real moment where I was like, oh, he's a shitty comedian anyway. And then, I'm joking, obviously.
Yeah, no.
Okay. But I was very, like, genuinely, I mean, so bummed. Well, we started to, like, get, like, choked up, and then... Because I woke up, because he texted me this morning. We're on the show at the Shrine on Saturday, that Kevin and Bean, like April Fool's in the show, right?
Cool.
And,
I love Kevin and Bean.
Oh, yeah, you were on there like a month and a half ago or something.
I wasn't a guest. They just kind of talked about me, but I'm going to be at some point.
Oh, they,
you're
going
to love them.
Yeah, they've Ralph is obsessed with you.
Ralph Garman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, because you grew up here, so you must have.
So I listened to them all of high school because I listened to Sum 41 all the time.
back to the punk rock.
Yeah.
Exactly. K-Rock in the 90s.
So that's going to be a big deal when you go on their show.
I'm so excited. It's just been a matter of scheduling for some reason.
But yeah.
I'm so excited.
So he texted me this morning because it's like Brad, because it's Tenacious D, Ralphie Mae, Gabriel Iglesias, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad, and myself. And it's my first time on the show. He's done it a couple times. Mm-hmm. And Jonah Ray was on it and then canceled, so they replaced him with Jay Moore. Mm-hmm. So he texts me this morning pretty early, goes, what? He goes, Jonah Ray is back on the show. Doesn't mean they should have had to kick you off. That's fucked up. And, you know, when you are in like a half asleep disarray, like you don't have all your chips
your wits
in order.
About you. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I had no wits about me.
No.
I had zero wits.
All your wits were sleeping.
All my wits were sleeping. And so I'm like, no, that and my friend died? It was like a shitty day. And then I put it together finally. I was like, all right, April Fool's.
Yeah, I like that that's at the same time.
It's like, well, I got kicked off a show and my friend died. So I was really depressed about being kicked off a
Which
show.
Which one do I address first?
I was just telling Adam that nowadays because of Twitter, like it used to be you could prank someone really early in the morning when they like kind of forgot what day it was.
Uh-huh.
Now people wake up, they check Twitter, and there's already 22 tweets about April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh, and now they're on their guard. And now you can't really get people. I almost got expelled from USC for a prank that I pulled.
What'd you do?
I put fake eviction notices on people's dorm rooms.
Were they like the joke ones? The like, remember you could do like fake tickets? Like
oh
the
no,
store?
Yeah.
Remember those?
The forms. Yeah.
Oh my god, I thought it was so cool filling those out.
Yeah,
like, you get a parking ticket for having a shitty car. But it's like, what's, dude? Why are you wasting paper?
Yeah, and they sold them at like the same store that they sold the fake dog poop, right?
You got it, man.
Yeah,
Spencer's or Oz.
Spencer's. Yeah, your old stomping grounds. Oh wait, no, Hot Topic.
Yeah. I used to work at Hot Topic.
Right, that
I
makes
know.
Total sense to me.
So jealous.
They're
right?
One and the same, right?
Eh.
Well, I mean, he was in a punk band. He worked at Hot Topic. It's all the same.
Oh, I had pink hair at one point. There's one picture exists of me with pink
Boy,
hair.
See, now those are the types of moves that you can go. Thank God, like the internet,
right?
And Instagram wasn't around.
Oh,
yet.
I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah,
I just miss that generation, and I feel so lucky that everything kind of like the internet evolved just in time for me to be enough of adult to know the difference.
Totally.
Right.
Oh, because don't you feel so bad? I see kids who are like 15 posting shit. I'm like, man, like
you're going to follow you forever.
Yeah.
Also, and then parents who are now in the social media generation, their kids, like I have friends that have like 5 and 7 year olds that do something weird, and they post like, "Hey, Andy was yanking on his dick in the corner today," and then like they show like a picture of it. You're like, "What the fuck are you doing? What? No! Why are you making me look at this? Oh, now you're ruining this kid's life forever.
Ever. He's gonna look back at this. Have access to this.
High school friends are gonna like typing in like, "Hey, look, when you were 7, you yanked your dick in the corner."
Yo, not to one up your child dick story, but my buddy is a principal at a elementary school in Seattle. And a kid stood up at one of the assemblies and pulled his pants down and went, "Aah!" and like aggressively shook his dick around. And at first I said, "Well, is this the first time he's done that?" And he goes, "No, he used to do it like in the bathrooms and stuff." And I was like, "Well, this dude just needed a bigger stage. Like, he's a performer.
Yeah,
I have a lot
of
respect."
He's an exhibitionist.
Yes. He was doing open mics, and they wanted to play Carnegie Hall, where there was faculty and kids. And so
that's one step.
Did he take pictures of it?
I don't know, but...
if they did, they'd probably be on meganslaw.com now.
But the kid, I'm sorry, I said elementary school, it's middle school. The kid, though, got, but it's like a sixth grade, middle, like sixth grade's in the middle school, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth. And the kid, my buddy said the kid got like a ton more followers on Instagram. And I was like, "Hey, he's on Instagram and he's in sixth grade." He's like, "Yeah." And like, he got like more popular from that. Isn't that crazy?
That's not, I don't know if I like that.
I guess because people want to see a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's the reason we watch the Kardashians. It's the we want to see the kids.
Well, that's the reason you watch the Kardashians.
Oh, God.
I don't watch the Kardashians, to
you
be
don't?
Honest. But it's the reason America does.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And they want to see rich people and go, "We're not crazy like them.
Yeah. I think
we have our
see,
shit together."
We do that with Honey Boo Boo. They're not rich, but we still want to see them being dumb and see them mess up.
Yeah, just
and
so
be
we feel better about
it.
Ourselves.
Who do you think is going to be the next Honey Boo Boo?
Oh, jeez.
Fingers crossed it's me.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure VH1, like, they did Behind the Music. I don't know if they've done, like, Behind the Commercial Stars.
Yeah.
Like,
you'd have to really do something crazy,
in, like
30
years.
Although, like...
That could happen. I have a fear of losing my mind all the time.
For real?
I mean, you see people with, like... Or at least being perceived as losing my mind, right? Because I'm a weirdo, and I own it. I just am unabashedly... not caring if people are approving of my behavior.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And
you're right, that is weird, especially out here.
Well, it is weird, and it's also like not very welcome in like the job that I've been put into and very gratefully put into.
Sure.
But as like this like girl next door spokesperson, also I'm a comedian, so I like want to talk about like dick and you know,
can
and
we just isolate that soundbite, please?
I just want to talk about dick.
Well, before that, a little bit too. Like, I'm a spokesman, but a comedian. That's a fair end.
It's a weird dichotomy.
I'm pretty sure that's what your autobiography is going to be called. I just want to talk about dick.
I'm a spokesperson, but I want to talk about dick. Yeah,
there
people
you go.
Would buy it.
Pretty much.
Martha Stewart didn't say it.
But yeah. Like, do you feel that? Because do they have influence into what you put out as a comedian?
Not at all.
Oh, really? Okay, that's great.
But my fan base, at least my Twitter following, has very much grown since the campaign.
Right.
And they are people who expect me to be a really nice girl.
They see
girl.
You as that.
Yeah. And, so when
and they
I
think
post
you're that, too, right? There's people who don't know. They're just like, "Oh, you're... They cast a person..."
I think there are some people who think I actually work in the store, but... Those aren't the brightest people and not really worried about what
yeah,
they think.
Yeah, those are the same people that see like soap opera actors that go, "I can't believe you cheated on Andrea when she was in a coma, you asshole!"
And
you're like,
"And you're not blind!
You son of a bitch!"
Or who saw like Indiana Jones 4 and was like, "He's getting old, like I can't believe he's still fighting crime." And you're like, "Well, hey, it's not really crime he's fighting, and B, that's an actor."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so but you haven't had any of those moments where people are like, "So, like, what branch do you work in? Or what store?"
People have asked me what store I work at.
Oh, son of a bitch.
But it's more like when I post, like, something dark or that I think is funny.
Yeah.
That people are like, "Hey, don't think that way. We still believe in you." And I was like, "Dude, it's a joke."
Oh, man. Comedian.
Which is, I mean, they're nice people.
Yeah,
And it's just two totally different worlds.
Of course.
Well, yeah, like, and now, I mean, and our boy over here, Adam, is going through a little... less of that, but to some degree, as the voice of Hyundai, and I actually heard the first commercial today.
Cool. Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did not recognize your voice until like midway through. I'm like, "Oh, hey."
Oh, because it was a really high one.
Yeah.
Some of them are like really super salesy.
You do have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Some of them are like, you know, like today I did some that were just like, like really like, you know, get an all new Hyundai Elantra, like real smooth God, ones.
Sounds great.
What, are you trying to fuck a Hyundai?
Possibly trying to get the consumers to
all go, new now, Hyundai Sonata.
Adam, if you can make people want to penetrate the car from the outside, I'm like, why not the inside? This kid's brilliant.
Just spit on it and lube it up this time around, would you?
But the most ones that are the ones that are out now are like super like uppity salesy, like scream at you like, you know, seize the moment and get an all new, like really, I mean, and it's people can't tell it's me because it's, you know, so much higher. But yeah, with that, I'm a voice, so nobody knows I'm really doing that except for my mom and Brad.
And everyone who's listening to this right now.
For sure.
Yeah.
But how is it, I mean, because you're millions of people every day. Does that wig you out?
No, not really. It doesn't affect my life that massively, to be honest. It really doesn't. I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm not like, well, I'm on TV all the time. Sure.
And it was just one spot, right? And then it turned into a bunch?
Yeah, it was just one.
So that's what's really crazy.
That is the weirdest kind of fortune that I've ever experienced, for sure.
Because, you know, how long had you been out here?
I'm since college. I mean, I grew up in LA.
Right.
But, you know, after college, I moved to New York for a little bit and then here. So maybe like 5 years.
Okay,
or less.
So enough of time in the business to where you're like auditioning and like
heard a bunch of no's and a couple yeses, and you kind of get your hopes up, and then, I mean, because you've had one.
At first, you said heard about your nose, and I was like, "What?"
Oh, I read. I read a ton of rumors.
Talk to you about your nose.
Absolutely, like, that's what an Uzbekistan nose looks like. We've been so curious.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I read the National Enquirer. There was this whole ensemble about your nose. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know if you know what's going on up there.
No.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, I've stolen this nose off Saddam Hussein.
I knew it. The Enquirer is reputable.
I owe you $5.
But yeah, you had plenty of moments where, because the first time I ever saw you was on Californication.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that was kind of a one time deal. Mm-hmm. But then, and then, so this whole thing with AT&T was supposed to be a one time thing, and then they just kept bringing you back.
Yeah, we did one, and we did one, and it did really well. The internet liked it, so we made more.
Fucking internet, right?
Yeah.
It's the best.
They ask, we deliver. It was, I mean, how many commercials have they done, and they very rarely do they turn them into a campaign without knowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They must have had a little bit, because Beck Bennett is a good friend of mine.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, you went to USC? You guys went to USC.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew all those guys, and, you know, Nick and I started staying up around the same time.
Oh, cool.
And Beck, to me, is like just one of the... We were both in the like BFA acting school, and so we
He's
did a lot of plays
the most
together.
Talented guys,
just like the, you know,
the grown up baby that he does on SNL is just insane.
Yeah, but that's like it's the best. But like, have you seen like the thing he does with Will Greenberg, like when they play roommates? Have you ever seen those?
Oh yes, I have seen that.
Yeah, where they're both humping the giant exercise balls.
He can also do drama. Like he is so talented.
He's the best,
And he's trained. I guess with you.
Yeah,
you guys both.
We're in the same program. Yeah.
Yeah, he did the Moscow Art Theater and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, seeing that, like, you, I guess you could almost assume, but I guess not, just like with how flimsy the business is, that, like, when you were got that you're like, oh, now I'll be the next person that gets, like.
No, and I didn't think that until we had been doing it for months.
Yeah, until James Vanderbeek came into the picture. And then you're like, oh, this thing's going to go wild.
Yeah, yeah.
The beaks.
Yeah.
That's what I call them. You know, we're close.
I call them Derbeaks. Oh.
Damn it, an extra syllable.
Yeah. Derbeaks.
She's always better than me.
There was never, I mean, you know, there's never any kind of security in this town at all. Even now, they could pull this away at any second.
Sure.
But I feel really lucky that I got to do even one. And even when the first one did, you know, like, you guys have done commercials.
I did one Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
It's
still airing in Kuwait, I think.
All right.
Glendale?
Yeah, it's one of those. Same thing. Yeah, and you just never know. I got cast in a Bud Light commercial that they were telling me from day one was like, this is Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl ad, and we were all like, this is going to be the best thing ever.
I don't believe it.
Did not air in the Super Bowl. Aired about 4 months later, one time in the commercial break during SportsCenter, and then said, all right, we're good. Yeah. Like, the son of a...
Yeah.
Well, there's so many factors at play.
Absolutely.
It's just about, like, how does it cut together? How does it turn out? And then, like, the layers of corporate approval.
Right. Now, did you have any moments, like, either the first one with Vanderbeek or something that happened that you were like, holy crap, this is a thing? Like people are watching this. People are caring about this. This is catching on.
We like to ask the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll recall if there was a particular moment. Well, I mean, only like a month or two ago, they started putting up photos in the stores. Okay. Like if you go into an AT&T store, there's a giant photo of me looking very polite with my hands crossed. And that is a trip because it's all over the place. There's like someone told me that there's a store in an airport and the photo's up there. And that's all very wild. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes I can drive past a store and see myself in there. And
oh, it's
just
be a trip.
It's just very wild.
You ever just stop and have a little pep talk with yourself? Like look at the giant billboard and just go,
look at what you've done.
You're doing good, Mom.
Look
at you. Look at this mess you've made. Look at you, kid.
You've done it. You're just a dumb dyslexic kid from Uzbekistan. And look at you now. You're hanging up in airports.
Holy shit. I feel like I'm witnessing an Oscar Wilde monologue right now. This is perfect. I mean, yeah, and you said growing up in Uzbekistan. Like,
no, I was born in Uzbekistan.
Born in Uzbekistan.
Yeah, but I was raised here.
Do your research.
Wikipedia was wrong. Anyway, but born in Uzbekistan, and then when do you come out here?
When I was 3.
Okay.
Yeah, really close to here, actually. My grandmother lives like 3 blocks away.
No kidding?
Seriously. Oh. Yeah, this is my hood. This is my family.
It's a good area.
Yeah.
Do you even have memories of... 3 is old enough to have some sort of a...
We left, actually, when I was 1, and then, like, did a really long immigration process. But I've been back since, and those are kind of my only memories.
What's the comedy like over there?
Dry.
Have you tried to, like, perform...
Because
there's sketch comedy festivals everywhere, so I'm just like, why wouldn't there be one?
Russian there.
Love that. And, you know, I'm a Russian Jew.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome.
You should get married.
I mean, my mom would love that.
My mom too.
You finally found one. You found one.
I mean, I liked Liz, but she, you know, she had
she
some...
She had like a slight shiksa thing
Yeah.
She won't totally say it's the Jewish thing. She'll be like, she had a weird thing. The way she put on her coat was weird. And she went, she was not Jewish, but, you know, that's besides the point.
I hated the way she left and she just wasn't Jewish.
And she laughed in a very non-Jewy way.
All right, so
just the way she looked at me, I can tell she celebrates Christmas.
Oh, I mean, these are way too close to what my
really
is. Yeah, my parents are way open about it. They very much want to have Jewish babies.
Yeah, because it's easier, as my mom says. I'm not saying you have to, but it'd be easier because you can all go to temple together.
Yeah, like you ever go to temple.
I mean, not since the bar mitzvah.
I guess
I go back every now and then.
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah. I used to go to the one right up the street here.
Nice.
Temple Israel. Something when I was a kid. I mean, I haven't gone forever. Happy Passover, by the way.
Hey, happy Pesach.
Thank you.
and I'm just the fucking...
The Goythin over
Goythin?
Here.
Jesus. Heathen? What do you call me?
Mini Goy?
Mini Goy. I think you can order those at a Thai restaurant. Yeah, well, they come with the sweet and sour sauce. They're good.
We'll dip the Goy in the Goy sauce?
Keep talking about Judaism. Nah, go nuts.
Well, one more thing. Okay. And you can commentate on this. But, like, Jewish parent conversations, have you had some great ones just over the, like... Do they have a lot of Jewish friends that like couples that come over and like with those? I mean, like even with the when all my mom's friends from Temple went and saw the Heat, I got so many. My mom first of all made them do a front page thing in the Temple Bulletin, Temple Beth Am.
Oh, that's so cute. And that would make me so uncomfortable.
So Alana, so uncomfortable. It made me so uncomfortable. Yeah. My rabbi, I taught his kids in Jewish day school for a while, like through high school, and so I got real close with them.
That's funny. I was imagining you teaching them like comedy classes. What's the deal with Shul?
You just play them Seinfeld DVDs.
What's the deal with Shul?
That works.
Yeah, my mom does a lot of like posting things on Facebook and a lot of it. And
her friends probably too, right? Like,
yeah, and they share it and they are all waiting. I'm in the show that's coming out in a couple weeks and they are all texting me.
The Other Space on Yahoo, April 12th.
April 14th.
April 14th.
Yes, very close.
Okay.
And it's not The Other Space, it's just Other Space.
Oh, God. Sorry.
No, do your research, Adam.
No, you have to say that stuff, though.
You wouldn't say The Sum 41, you know? it is very weird. For a while, I asked her to not post stuff because I would just get so many unsolicited comments from people I didn't know or care about.
Yeah.
But
then you realize how proud she is as a parent.
Yeah, and I couldn't take that away from her.
And like, that's her thing.
She raised me. She worked her ass off to raise me. She can do whatever she wants.
So my mom uses it too. She goes, I'm not changing, so deal with it.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Also,
I love
that. you came out of me, is what she says sometimes too, and I can't argue that one.
No,
that, I used to use that as a defense when my dad would tell me to do something. I would pit my mom and my dad against each other and just be like, I came out of her, so she's going to tell me what to do.
Oh man! Now, and then when you started going into acting, were they very supportive? Were they hesitant?
Well, I started going into acting very young, when I was like 5.
Yeah, Barbie commercials, right?
Yeah, lots of Barbie commercials.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you love it as a kid?
Yes, I still, yes. I mean, the way I love it now is the way I loved it then.
Because that can be a very tricky thing for a kid to get into, like, you can either, like, well, I guess, how old were you when you did it first?
Like 5.
Okay. So that's still, like, young enough to just be like, this is fun.
It was the most playful thing. Mm-hmm. I got to miss school.
Which was the most important thing as a kid. You're like, really? I get to miss school to play with Barbie?
Isn't that fucking crazy? Even at 5, you're like, thank God I can skip math today. Like,
yeah. I have a nephew who's 6 and loves going to school. Like, his punishment is not going to school. So he's a fucking freak. But I would love missing school and getting my makeup done. I didn't particularly like playing with Barbies. I kind of thought they were for dumb girls.
Oh, man.
Maybe I just didn't have enough
of
an imagination.
What if you said that as a 5-year-old? That would have been great.
My mom told me not to talk about me not liking Barbies. She was like, let's just keep that between that.
And you and me and not the Mattel executives.
They would give me Barbies to take home, and I would take them home and like cut off their hair.
Oh, God. I think that's a sign of a serial killer.
She's bringing back like lesbian
haircut
Barbies.
I wanted to be
Barbie.
A hairdresser more than I wanted to play with the Barbies.
So funny.
Okay.
It was weird. But yeah, my mom was really supportive of it, and my
dad crucial early on too, right? I mean, for the parents to just be on board, because kids can tell if there's a little bit of like, try this, or like, you know, you hear about some people get the timelines, they get like, do it for a couple of years, and
I
then
I got that from my dad after college, like try it for 2 years. But I mean, if you're supporting yourself, they really don't have any say,
right?
And then it was only recently I was on this morning news show here.
Watch it, Good Day LA.
Yeah, Good Day LA.
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Yeah, we all watched the clip.
You were great with that.
Thanks.
Because they were, because, you know, we do so much morning press for stand-up on the road, like radio and TV. And, hey, sometimes
it's so bizarre, right?
It's super weird and awkward. Actually, 95% of the time, the news people are just...
Because they got a list, because they have to do so many other news stories, so they get like
this is a short 4 minutes
bullet points, and like right before the cameras go.
They told me this. They're like, we're so sorry, we probably won't remember meeting you because we have to do so many things a day that their brain just can't retain it for their own mental health.
It's nuts. The last time, last week, I was in Connecticut, and I do one of these morning Good Day Hartford, you know, like one of those types of shows. One of the Real Housewives was backstage, and she was going on after me. So that shows you the quality of Good Day Connecticut. So the producer walks in and starts having a conversation with the Real Housewife, and just goes, oh my God, and your shoes that you're releasing are so great. I wear the heels all the time. I love heels. Without the heels, I just feel like a fucking midget. And I'm right there. I'm like, hey! And she turns around like, oh God! Oh!
What are the odds?
Oh! So sorry! And I'm like, well...
She thought maybe you showed up to like discipline her for saying it on live TV.
Yes, and then she goes, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. I'm like, not the best thing you could say.
You're 0 for 2, lady.
I didn't see you there. I go, well, thanks for the ammunition. Then I go out to do the show, to do my segment, and I tell them, I'm like, I'm gonna talk about this because this just happened. It's fresh in my mind.
Yeah. Let's
go. Yeah, and then
it's Hartford Live, baby.
Up to the point when we were live, she was screaming in the host's ear, like, do not let him talk about it. Do not let him talk about it. Like, fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, then they were trying to steer the conversation somewhere else. I was like, no, she said this. I was backstage. It was one of those Southwest
want
to get away. I said, what are you going to do after this? Are you going to go down to the Black Church and start reading Tupac lyrics? Like, what the hell are you going to do next? And she was highly embarrassed. But I don't care. You said that right in front of me. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, can you imagine if the newscaster on Good Day LA was like, I need my coffee, otherwise I feel like a Jew woman.
And now...
He turns around and I'm standing there.
Hey, you're wearing like a giant Star David sweater.
As you slowly put the dreidel back in your pocket.
Oh, sorry. Wait, so what you... I'm sorry, we cut you off because you brought it up. Being on that show.
Oh, I had the best time on that show. But I really did. I had so much fun. They were so welcoming. And it was such a... It's a really bizarre thing to do, but I loved it. I had so much fun.
It's pretty crazy, too. They're like... I mean, he's, you know, what, in his 70s?
Yeah.
And she's like in her 30s?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of those type of matchups happening on morning TV.
Yeah. Unless there are sketches. Yeah, what do they talk about? It's an argument for... sexism, and that the guy keeps the job and the women rotate when they become less than desirable.
Right, because they Julian Barber used to be on that show, and then she was like, "Well, you're 35."
Oh God!
So it's like why not?
Well, the other woman on the show is 50, and she looks great.
Nice.
They're both tiny people.
Hey, I'm right here. again with this shit.
They got these little midget waves.
Fucking, I'm out of here.
Oh, nice.
I'm done.
Good sound effect of you leaving, by the way.
Oh, I try. Were
those your feet, like, jumping off the chair?
Well, like, I realize that if I take my headphones off, you can't hear that for the podcast. So I'm like, let me slam the headphones against the microphone. And that was the sound effect that made.
Oh, that didn't work.
It's called improvisation. Don't know if you know about it.
Improvisation.
That's how they taught me at Cambridge.
Oh, God.
Speaking of improv, I think that's what made the interview not so awkward, is that I was just like, I'll just wait for you to stop talking to talk, and then I'll yes and whatever you say.
Yeah, you were great. Have you done many of those?
No, that was my first news morning show.
Good job.
But it wasn't until I did that my dad was like, I see this.
Wait a minute.
I get it.
So all the TV shows you've been on before then, nothing but
National ad campaign.
Yeah, nothing.
Good Day LA.
Cardboard cutouts. We had cardboard cutouts of Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. Now someone could have a cardboard cutout of you.
Still not good enough.
I really hope they don't. I'm just imagining the filthiest things being done to
God,
that.
Oh, God. Oh,
okay. What do they do with cutouts of women? Guys, think about it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. We didn't have cutouts of women that we did stuff
for. We didn't have blow-up women.
No, we didn't do that. but it wasn't until Good Day LA. Wasn't until Good Day LA where he's like, you've made it.
Well, because he watched that show.
Okay.
You know,
so that's what he identified with.
Yeah. It always sort of has to tie back to something where it's like, oh, I know what that is.
That's
like,
Kevin and Bean for you. Good Day LA is Kevin and Bean for your dad.
Kevin and Bean is really bizarre. I'm so excited to go on. I'm like kind of emotional about how.
When are you going in?
I don't know.
You should come to the show on Saturday and hang out and meet him then.
I would love to do that.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a few comps. I have a few more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great.
Done. And you can meet the D. Tenacious D.
Okay. I was saying, what the fuck are you saying, Adam? You can meet the D?
Yeah, come to the show and I'll show you my dick.
Oh, God. The worst proposition ever.
It's also a terrible way to like start to seduce a woman.
Oh, God.
Hey, how interested in you are meeting the D?
Somehow I feel like that if you had an Armenian accent, that might actually work. You know, like, hey, dude, you come over and meet the D. Hey, you can meet the D. Hey, it's the D. I know. I have gold chain around my D.
You turn around and there's an Armenian man standing behind you. Yeah.
This racially insensitive
I'm going
moment
to talk
brought
about
you
this on the podcast.
Screaming at him.
We can't talk about it. Other space.
Yeah.
I caught myself.
I love it.
Looks so rad. Heard about it from Paul Feig when he was first doing it.
He's your buddy.
Yeah.
How did you get to meet Paul Feig?
I met Paul Feig. We were both on this dating site, and it didn't...
J-Date.
Well, if you're going to laugh, maybe I won't tell the story.
No, I think it's adorable. I'm snickering because it's cute.
It was J-Date. we through the heat. And
cool.
And then just hit it off with him because he also went to USC. He also was a tour guide at Universal Studios like I was. So that was my day job out here.
Yeah.
After I graduated from SC, I was that. Then I played Wolverine for 2 years.
Cool. I'm jealous. Can see that.
Yeah. And then hosted the Fear Factor live show at Universal.
Wow, fun. Maybe that's why you look familiar.
I'm probably in family photos. You know what's crazy? When I first started really getting into stand-up, there were people that come to the Comedy Store and go, this is crazy because I used to only talk about Universal because, A, there's just like so much material there. Talk, every podcast could be filled with an hour of stories that would blow your mind from behind the scenes.
Yeah, Adam used to work at Universal. I used to work at Disneyland, so we both have like that theme park background. Yeah.
Is that what bonded you guys?
Shit. That and J-Date.
Nice comeback.
Man, I do improv. This is our second beat.
Professional, baby. Paul's a really busy guy. Like, is he involved in the show at all? Or
He wrote it and mm-hmm. he oversaw all of it.
Oh, so he's involved is what you're saying.
Yes, he's very involved. And I think he had a very heavy hand in the editing. Mm-hmm. And
so tell people what the show is about for those who don't know.
The show is basically a workplace comedy that takes place in the future and in space. So it's a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah.
And it's on a spaceship. Sometimes we land on planets. And it's filled with a cast of mostly improvisers, so mm-hmm. there's a good amount of improv. And it's also the writer's room with some of the most talented people you know, from The Office to Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just...
See, that's where getting the Paul Feig stamp helps, right? Because then everyone's like, oh,
everyone wants to work.
Everybody great wants to be.
I mean, from like the hair and makeup people to the grips, like everyone was there because they wanted to work with Paul.
So awesome.
And I mean, I'm sure some of them were there for the paycheck, but like there was a huge majority that was like, that was just honored to be there, as was I.
And so who is your character?
My character is Tina Shukshin. She's kind of the ditzy love interest. Yeah.
The ditzy
love interest? She's from Uzbekistan, and I do speak Russian in the show.
Oh my God, can you give us a little taste?
A little taste of the Russian?
Yeah.
Да, я могу говорить, я здесь выросла... Здесь все по-русски говорят, так мне было легко.
Oh, man.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She just said those were nice feet sound effects earlier. You fucking...
Oh, wow. Wow. That was like... You said it with such a bright smile on your face. I had no idea.
Yeah. Dwarf jokes are surprisingly lighthearted in Russian.
But they're so happy to tell them in Russian. They're like, oh, this is the greatest joke ever.
What did you say? That was actually pretty... Was that... Now, what do you think when people do Russian accents like that? Because clearly that just sounded like the Count or like Borat.
Borat. Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't care. I mean, I don't care. That doesn't bother me.
That's fine. I mean, you're going to do that and it's awful, but that's you're going to do what
I
you
mean,
do, Brad.
You're offending my ancestors. But that's fine. Yeah. That.
Pretty much shitting on my entire family heritage, but whatever.
Well, I'm not here to give you notes.
That's okay.
Just do it better.
What did you say, by the way?
I just said that I speak Russian and I grew up a couple blocks from here and everyone here speaks Russian. Like, I bet do you live here?
I live like on La Brea in Hollywood.
I have a little cubby that Brad sleeps in my room.
Yeah. It's a little drawer. He drops a hamster pellet that's down there.
It's a matchbox. It's not a fucking mouse. Well, what is this? Fievel Goes North?
There are no cats in America, Adam.
He has sung that song and attracted quite a large group of people.
That's what I do.
You must have Russian neighbors in this building.
Yeah.
There's a
couple. They're, I think, both in their 90s, and they're Russian, and they're adorable. And one of them swims laps. At like 8 a.m.
I love that. Man, do I respect that.
Right?
I mean, first of all, just still being a couple.
That part.
For real.
Like, I want that.
Oh,
that
man.
So
how do you
cool.
do that?
I don't know. I think a lot of work. Probably one of my friends was like, if you find someone worth dating, get into couples therapy early.
Like, yeah, wow, just start
it. How do you bring that up?
I mean.
So, like, preventative therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, start it.
Yeah,
I just started reading Blink, the Gladwell book, and anyway, Malcolm Gladwell, he talks about
books. Is this the first time books have been mentioned on this podcast?
Well, if you look over, there's a Cat in the Hat right to your left.
Okay.
Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends is right below it.
Obviously we're pretty educated here.
Anyway, I'm just I was literally reading it before I got here, but they talk about like relationship, how you can telltale signs that relationships are ending early.
No kidding.
Yeah,
what are the signs?
And it's like really simple things like being defensive and eyes rolling and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now what do you... Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be in a relationship with somebody that's defensive, but I feel like isn't there a lot of, like, benefit of the doubt, like, early on where you're just like, okay, that's probably a one-time, that's mm-hmm. not a tell of with that part, but
yeah,
this is saying...
Yeah, and then those turn out to be patterns.
Oh, see, she's read the book. Whoa. She's way more advanced than us.
I'm, like, 13 pages into the book.
How much of it do you feel like is actually applicable?
All of it. Like, I'm such a sucker for things I read. I believe everything.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we used to do a segment on this podcast called What Will Adam Believe? Where I essentially had three news stories. Two were true, and then one I completely made up. And then he would just about all the time say that the false one was true. Yeah. He was just like, the Muppets did land in New Mexico?
Okay, well, that's actually pretty possible.
There is some stand-up that has this as a bit, right? Like... Why not be gullible? Like, if you're going to lie to me, then you're the liar.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being a good person and trusting
you. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so Adam is just a trusting person. Yeah. I'm the asshole.
I had this experience when I was a kid, also maybe like second grade, and I still remember it was really hurtful to me. It was a lifelong lesson where this girl got from a cereal box these 90210 trading cards.
Oh my God. That was a thing?
Or maybe... Oh, wait, no. I got them. I got these 90210 trading cards, and I was like, I didn't really care about the show, but a girl that was a year older than me loved them, mm-hmm. and she wanted these trading cards. And she's like, I'll give you $5 for them. And I was like, no. And she was like, I'll give you $10.
You knew
they
were worth more.
And she went up to $3 million. I will give you $3 million
in Monopoly money?
Trading cards. And I said... Okay, fine. $3 million.
You settled at $3 million for the
wow. I mean,
for the Andrea Zuckerman trading card for the Peach Pit logo. I mean, okay.
And I gave it to her, and then she was like, "I don't have the money," and I was so sad and hurt. And I was like, "Well, give me the cards back." And she's like, "No, they're mine now." And I was like,
"Whoa,
you're right. I got suckered. You
I got swindled."
Them.
And that's old school.
And that's when you told your dad that, and he's like, "You got to get the money up front."
No, and then we just cut her.
Well, you know, that is one way. That's kind of like the Russian party.
My family handles it. Okay.
I got swindled like that too, though, with like baseball cards. Because older guys in my neighborhood, I'd get like good cards from packs. And I knew they were good, but then they'd, you know, I didn't know every player. So they'd be like, oh man, King Griffey Jr. Yeah, no, that is a great card. But you know what's really great? Todd Zeal, mm-hmm. third baseman for the Mets. And I'm like, it is? And they're like, oh, this is worth like. And same thing, large numbers. And as a kid, like, hey, man, $10 is a big deal. So yeah. You hear like a million, your mind is blown. You're like, how many now and laters is that from 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Probably a lot.
Exactly how I would think of it. Yeah.
And so then I would trade it. Because also the trusting, like, and I'm being like this older kid. And they, you know, they're also great actors in my neighborhood. These older kids were some.
Where did you grow up?
Seattle. Like 20 minutes north of
God,
the
I'm just listening to this going, wow, people actually tricked you guys. For me, they just put the thing on a third shelf, and I was fucked. It's like, get it. Well, fuck, I guess it's yours now. Son of a bitch.
Neil Casey's also in it.
Neil Casey, who's one of the most brilliant minds in comedy.
He came into the heat to like punch up stuff with Katie, and that's when I met him, and I was like, oh, you're incredible.
He's incredible. Every scene he's in, he steals, and he's just a great improviser.
You guys got to improvise a lot then, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was really cool. Well, we do like that. We would get it once or twice, and then we would get to play. I don't know how much of it is used in the show, but hopefully, I mean, it was a joy to even get to play.
Yeah.
And him and Eugene Cordero, who's also a brilliant improviser from UCB New York, who now lives in LA. And it's just, I mean, there were so many bits on set. It was never, God, what a cool job to just be able to wake up and be so stoked.
Go laugh.
To go laugh. And to doing bits is one of my favorite things in the world. And so you just get to...
You're talking about like off camera, right?
Yeah. Well, both.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happened a lot off camera. Yeah. And so we would just get to like play with our brains.
It's the best.
Make each other laugh. And also Neil, for as much of a genius as he is, he's also a very generous laugher. So he makes you feel funny.
You definitely have to have that in the give and take with somebody that you're like on the bit boat with, you know, like they can't be on there like
on their bit boat high horse.
Yeah.
Well,
what are you doing with the horse on a boat, dude?
Nice.
But yeah,
making it real.
Like, and then when they're so supportive of you, that just makes you kind of like, oh man, we're having fun. And then like you step your game up even more, and it just makes it better.
Well, it gives you confidence. Nothing's worse than somebody who doesn't laugh at your jokes.
You're talking to two stand-up comics, so yeah, we know.
right. Like, to even be friends with somebody who doesn't laugh at your jokes, it just makes you feel like the things that you're throwing out there aren't landing and that you're failing. Mm-hmm. And so it makes you feel insecure to continue saying what's freely on your mind.
Mm-hmm. You ever feel like somebody can, like, laugh too much at something and where you're like, oh, okay, like maybe this is like, I had a buddy like that in college who was just like the best, like, yes man, like everything I did, to where I'd wake up and be like, oh boy, I do not want to go to class today, and he would die. And I'm like, okay, I gotta stop testing stuff out on you.
Yeah, I have one friend who I know when he's fake laughing. It's like a very high-pitched fake laugh, and it drives me crazy. I can hear it from across the room. I'm like, dude, just tone it down. No one needs that much validation.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Do you have his phone number? Because I have some jokes I've been dying recently that I could really use that kind of positive reinforcement.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
Paul's got a great laugh.
Oh, my God. Right? He's got the...
Yeah. Holy shit, is he Jabba the Hutt? What the hell?
No, it's Solo. It was so awesome when we were screening the show because it was just like him and I brought one friend who laughs generously. And it was just my friend and Paul laughing.
A laugh battle?
So they were like dueling banjos but with laughter?
Yeah. Well, because we are all so nervous watching ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. That it's really hard to laugh.
Sure.
It's a very uncomfortable thing to be able to...
I don't know what it is, but whether it be radio, TV, whatever, it's so hard to like look at yourself because you're nitpicking the smallest things.
Looking at yourself on radio is particularly difficult.
That's fantastic when people can do that. It's unbelievable. It's just like telepathy. It's nuts. But yeah, like you see and hear things that no one else is even aware of. Like, and it's like, so was that scary to do that then with everyone in the same room?
I'm sure that everyone was just watching themselves.
Yeah.
So everyone was having a similar kind of panic. But I was also so in awe of the other performances that really helped. And also when you get self-critical, it really helps to know that you're around brilliant people and to believe, and it can be really hard to do this, but to believe that you deserve to be there. Like, there's no accident that you are where you are. Like, if you're on a radio show, it's because you did something to deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I blew Ralph Garman. I deserve to be on Kevin and Bean after
strong,
that.
Yeah, he's got powerful lips. But
so powerful.
Do I have to do that to get on the show?
Well,
I think they'll let you pass.
Wait, what? Someone... that gets me incredibly frustrated.
You're not America's sweetheart yet.
Son of a bitch.
God, I got to... make a phone call to Verizon.
your acting reel of dead bodies is hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
So funny.
Thanks. That's
also
nice.
Yeah. But guess what? It took me 3 clips to realize that.
Oh, good.
Is it good or am I? Or
no,
do
that's
I have a,
good in terms of the filmmaking, I guess.
Yeah, it was cut very well. Also, thanks. The first YouTube videos I started making were like those cutting yourself into other stuff.
Yeah.
So when I see you putting yourself in those shows, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And it was cut really well. And the makeup was really believable.
Thanks. That was all done for like $30.
And for those who don't know, you made a reel of like you just playing a dead body in all these different shows.
Well, it just says Milano's acting reel, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, hey, if you live in LA and like just type in insert somebody's name plus acting reel and you'll get
something will come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm watching it being like, and then the first thing I see when I see the first dead body thing, I'm like, yeah, I guess that's... Well, maybe this was a long time ago, and she thought that was like something to put on the reel.
Yeah, I was desperate for footage.
Hey, we've all been there, where you're pulling like real deep student films.
Yeah.
And and then I see the second one, I was like, oh, cool, that was a bigger CSI show. So that was... You would want that clip on there. And then when I had Caruso in it, so I'm like, well, you got to put Caruso in the reel, obviously. And then I'm like, okay.
And then you're like, oh, she has no range.
For the fifth one, sure. What possession to have that idea? Are you just like, let's just
I made
do
a
some
mockumentary
fun?
Called Dead Reel, The Milana Vine Troupe Story, which is like a fake, you know, a mockumentary. It's a fake documentary about me being an actress that only plays dead people. And so... to go with that.
Is that online?
Yeah, Dead Reel. Reel is spelled R-E-E-L.
All right. Well, then people can...
I just plugged it.
Yeah, there you go. Plug it up.
Do you still do your talk show?
No, I don't. I loved doing that, though.
Yeah, was that... So when you first...
I did that because of Good Neighbor.
Nice.
Yeah. When I... before I made any videos, I met the Good Neighbor guys, and I thought... that they were just normal people. I actually met them under really weird circumstances because one of my friends was dating Beck and we all went to a party together and then went back to their house and I had a boyfriend and I think Nick had a girlfriend and so everyone went to their rooms to fuck. And Nick and I just sat in the living room and I was like, I guess I'm going to wait until they're done so I can get a ride home.
Oh, God.
But then Nick and
thing.
I became friends and then... started working on stuff with Good Neighbor, and I was really just inspired by them creating their own content, and you know, so much of this town is waiting for permission to work.
Yeah.
And that's why people become stand-ups, I think. I mean, aside from many other reasons you feel you need to yap.
But, mostly emotional abuse, but yeah, sure, whatever the hell you said to.
That was a great, by the way, honest insight into what sketch and improv people think of stand-ups.
Yeah.
Man, you just gotta get please look at me.
Just you on stage, just a spotlight. We get it, you're important.
But no, that's exactly why I started doing videos. And I'm another also because, you know, I was a year older than them. So they were just they were doing it like right when YouTube hit, and I'd done a bunch of like video stuff in high school, and so I was like, oh, I think I should do that now. But then, and I want to ask you like what the first thing you put out was, because like that was a big deal for me to be like, okay, so when I'm gonna now put something on YouTube and start trying to like post it on things or send it to like people to like start to say, hey, this is like, you know, because you need to start building some of a following.
Well, they very much helped me with that.
Right.
I was in a video with Kyle, and this is before I had a channel or anything, but I was starting to make my own content. So when we were shooting that, I pulled Dave McCary aside, who is their director, and I was like, hey, I just want to get your, like, what do you think about this thing? And he was like, oh, yeah, definitely put that on the internet. And then we can put a little link at the end of this video that that I was currently shooting with Kyle to drive people to watch it. And it was great. And then we ended up interviewing Good Neighbor on the show and lots of other really amazing people.
Matt Damon.
You had Matt. How does that even happen?
Oh, that was such a miraculous thing. He was doing this campaign for water.org, and they were making videos with YouTubers to get the word out. And so YouTube actually contacted us to, like, we submitted many ideas. A lot of YouTubers did, submitted many ideas of things to do with Matt Damon. And we only had him for like 20 minutes. And it was me and like, you know, or our channel, and then like four or five other YouTubers that got to have him for 20 minutes to shoot the shit.
And you guys were great with him.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was really, he's the nicest person.
Yeah, was he cool to work with, just saying yes to whatever you guys were saying?
Yeah, well, that was one of the few episodes that was scripted.
Gotcha.
Everything else was improvised, but because we had him for such a short period of time and we needed to get information out about the organization, we had him write a script, or we wrote a script that his people approved.
Yeah, and he was game and totally.
Oh, and he was so game, and then he ended up improvising with us anyway, and was so nice and laughed at all of our stupid jokes.
That's awesome.
He was really, really, really played along super well.
Because that can easily go the other way.
But he had just done like this big Kimmel thing like the week of.
Oh, so you knew he was going to be.
I knew that he was down.
Yeah,
yeah. He seems like a guy based on what you see him doing on Kimmel, where he knows that he's kind of like, he knows that he's the shit and he knows that he's famous, but he still has a great sense of humor about it.
Well, I think that's like what I was talking about like who would say that they're cool is a total dick. Like he is really cool, but that's why he can make fun of himself. Oh, but Bob Odenkirk was on the show, which was really cool.
Oh man, he's maybe like, there's a movie called Dealing with Idiots on Netflix.
I haven't seen that.
Jeff Garland. Odenkirk has a monologue in this thing, and Garland was telling me the other night at the Comedy Store where he goes, it's like one of the greatest. I would put it up there with like Al Pacino's Any Given Sunday speech, or like Al Pacino's.
I had all the movie speeches to go from.
Hey, that's an inspiring speech.
Life is a game of inches.
Yeah.
Pace by pace.
And they cut to Dennis Quaid, and he's like, okay. That was a been better Dennis Quaid.
I don't think so.
Breathes. And they cut to Dennis Quaid, and he's like,
pretty sure.
And when they come back to him, he's doing it into like a window and fogging it up. And I'm like, well, that's unnecessary.
He's just drawing hearts on the window.
So Odenkirk does this great monologue, and Garland goes, he just had a can of like goulash, and he goes, at some point, use this. It ends up spawning this like. It's brilliant. And like this whole thing about like his brother and how like he has this big tiff with his brother and like because of something that happened with their business, and he has this door that won't lock in the back of the store, so the door, he never locks his store, this copy place, and the brother offers to fix it because of this thing that happened. He's like, I'm not going to give him the fucking the satisfaction of fixing my door. It's like the most, but his, I mean, it's so believable. It's just like, you know.
I stopped listening. I'm so sorry. Can you say that again?
Did you just tune out?
No.
God, what a shitty story. That's the worst. You know what? Worse than people not laughing at your jokes is having them like when
just stare blankly.
Because I was so locked into what I was just saying because I wanted you to see it. I loved that moment so bad. I wanted you to love it.
Yeah.
And
I
if
really
that...
want to see it. I
okay.
No,
you know, now you're just patronizing. No. Mom, if you're listening, it's not going to happen.
maybe find a good Catholic girl
after this episode. Okay, maybe I was wrong about the Jews. She doesn't listen. Yeah, you know.
I want to be a part of an improvised film. What a fun.
Me too.
Thing.
That's like all I want to do.
Yeah. Okay, so we should make one.
I did write one that maybe.
Wait, you wrote an improvised film?
Yes. Well, it's a mockumentary, but it would be all improvised. Because, the Christopher Guest movies are, like, the best to me.
So inspiring.
So I wrote one. I wonder if I should say the idea for somebody will jack it off this podcast. Maybe I shouldn't.
No, get keep it to yourself.
Well, I was shaking her head, and I like that.
Tell us afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. We'll shut the mics off. We'll open a bottle of Cabernet, and then we'll get a damn.
And then we'll not listen to you pitch your movie.
I pitched the whole thing. I'm sorry. I was thinking about that shitty Odenkirk story you told earlier. What was that? Oh, she's doing a hoodie cover. When does the Other Space come out?
April.
Just Other Space.
Jesus,
guys,
Brad. April.
It's 14th. Not the yellow card.
When does Other Space come
just
out?
Just trying to pick band names that you can relate to.
Brad, that's the only way he can break ice with anybody.
It's not the Up Syndrome.
Inside information.
Yeah, that was a high school band.
It was.
Were you ever in a band? Or did you ever want to be? Or
no,
do you want to be?
Because
I'm looking for somebody to play the bassoon in my all Hootie and the Blowfish cover band called...
It's an all Hootie and the Blowfish?
Dennis Quaid Breaths. What's that?
Oh, yeah. I can play the Dennis Quaid Breaths.
Wait, so they're... That's amazing. So they're actually okay.
No, I don't have any musical abilities.
Really?
I thought I could beatbox once when I was on mushrooms, but that's about it.
Oh my god. Another piece of audio I would like isolated. Oh my god. I thought I could. Well, there's a lot of things. I thought I came once on mushrooms and I didn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
It was a bummer. And then it also made me like question a lot of things about life.
Okay.
Because I was like, if I thought that happened and it didn't, now what? You know?
Oh, I feel it. When I was driving to the Good Day LA thing, I remember I was so nervous about oversleeping.
I thought you were going to say, I also thought I came and I didn't. Okay, well, that's maybe why the interview wasn't as peppy as you wanted it to be.
No, but I was driving there and I was so worried about oversleeping or anything I had to do early in the morning. Because
yeah.
I have done that before and it's terrifying.
You're not an early person.
I can be.
Yeah, but if you
but
just,
if I have to wake me up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, like who is that early
no,
of a person?
Nobody.
And so I'm driving there and I'm like, what if I'm still dreaming right now?
Holy shit. What? The mushrooms hadn't worn off yet from
this
5 years
just
ago.
My life.
Jeez. Wow.
I'm like, what if right now we are all asleep? And
okay.
Then we wake up in the morning and we're like, I had this really weird dream that we did a podcast with Milana.
All right. I'm game.
I don't know. I have these kind of mushroom-ridden thoughts.
I mean, you're opening up a whole like other conversation about like what is real and what's not.
Let's get Joe Rogan about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's get Joe Rogan about it for sure. Like
that dance craze never caught on in the early 2000s.
Let's get Joe Rogan about
it.
That was their version of the electric slide.
Exactly. I mean,
Joe Rogan about it.
We were just coming off of getting Big Willie style in the late 90s. We weren't ready for let's get Joe Rogan.
We still haven't totally recovered from Big Willie style. Let's be honest.
I mean, can we ever?
I'm not ready to let that go.
I heard you say on Slumber Party Podcast, right?
Yeah.
That you drank like early, and so then you just kind of got over it.
Yeah, yeah. I started, well, because growing up here, I mean, we would go to bars when we were like 16, 15.
Yeah.
And I had my first drink actually at Red Rock, I don't think that's there anymore.
Next to Laurel Hardware?
No, it's on Red Sunset Rock. And Holloway.
Oh, yeah, Rock and Riley's.
Oh, is it called Rock and Riley's now?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I think I just started drinking when I was really young, that by the time I was 21, I was not interested in it at all. But mushrooms feel like going to Disneyland in your head. You could just hang out there all day.
Yeah, it's the best. I had a 45-minute conversation with the Daddy Longlegs once.
Oh, wow.
Might be exaggerating a little bit. Turned out to be a bag of gummy bears. Nevertheless, they were delicious. Mushrooms are great. I want to go to Joshua Tree. For those of you who haven't done mushrooms, like, and they're probably listening being like, oh, you had that much of an enlightening experience? Yeah. Like, after I thought I came and then cried watching TRL in my friend's room, I had, it was a crazy night. I had some like really like, done it twice. And one time was at a frat party in college. And another time we did it at Will Rogers State Park. Do you know where that is? If you take Sunset, like, all the way past UCLA.
Oh, yeah. It's by the Palisades, by Pacific Palisades.
Yep. Yeah. Amazing park. We, like, six of us, like, walked through this forest that on the way out we saw signs that said, beware of mountain lions and Lyme disease. And we're walking out, and I go, guys! I go, signs? And they're like, yeah, there were signs today, man. I'm feeling good about life, the direction. I'm like, no. Actual signs warning us for terrifying animals.
Yeah, there are omens everywhere.
Yeah. Everyone's just still fucked up. So we find this tiny little area in the creek, and like we all just sit there, and like everybody had their own nook in this like. But there was a point when I was like looking up, and the music came on. What I was listening to, it might have been Seal or
knowing you, Goo Goo Dolls,
maybe some Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah,
Something that was just like tapping into what was happening.
Goo Goo Dolls is no simple plan, but whatever, for sure.
Okay, that's, you know, Goo Goo Dolls is no simple plan. If something happens to you in the next week, I'm going to make sure everybody knows you said that.
Yeah, we're going to write that on your tombstone.
How dare you?
Always say, yeah, he Goo Goo Dolls is no simple plan.
And you got to say it with a deep British accent like that. But yeah, I looked up in the sky and like the way the sun was like coming through, like, and it just everything that was happening, I just had an enormous amount of clarity on like the end of a breakup with the girl from high school who I was dating in college, and then just other stuff. And I was like, yeah. I was able to like assess and deal with it. Like, and then even when I came down and like went back, I was like, I still was like very much like, because you're not...
you don't forget it.
No.
You're not in a haze at
totally.
All. You feel very clear.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the podcast called Restart?
No.
Where it's this girl who talks about, like, her experiences with psychedelics as healing drugs. And she interviews, like, scientists and other people who have traveled to Peru and all over the world to do ayahuasca and things like that. I haven't done that. But using it as a way to repair any kind of darknesses that you have.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's almost like the Men in Black stick.
Yeah.
In drug form.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, I know
Tommy Lee Jones is the one who administers the drugs.
Son of a bitch.
I know that I'll eventually do mushrooms.
What are you waiting for?
I'm so damn scared. I don't know.
What are you scared would happen?
Just that, because every time I've been on mind-altering substance, whether it be weed or whatever, it's always been too much. I've freaked out. I haven't had a good time on drugs yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's not true. We've smoked pot a few times, and you've been a lot of fun.
Well,
you danced to Gangnam Style MC Hammer remix, and it was maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Well, that was pot mixed with Jack Daniels, which was a delightful cocktail.
Touché.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, Gangnam Style was playing, and I'm a dwarf, so I figured, well, let's add to this party.
Yeah.
So yeah. Then I danced. As you do. But yeah, there's just something in me that just goes, oh, I'm a control freak, don't want to be able to see something that's not there. But
you don't really do that on mushrooms. You don't really see things that aren't there. You don't really hallucinate. Things kind of look cooler and like maybe colors.
I always felt in control.
Okay. Yeah.
Until like some people showed up and started trying to tell us about a really cool fence that was around the hill. Mm-hmm. And we all started laughing so hard that they got really upset at us, and I hadn't yet seen Stranger Anger, which not to be confused with Stranger Danger,
mm-hmm.
But they like got really upset because we were not taking their fence suggestion seriously, and they didn't know we were on mushrooms.
That would be really hard on me if somebody was mad. Somebody being mad at me in real life.
The woman was like, it's a piece of history, and he was like, you guys need to take her fence suggestion seriously, and we're crying laughing because they were so... upset about it. It was so funny. And then finally one guy just goes, man, we're all fucked up. You guys got to take it easy. And then we start laughing even harder. And then they just like shook their heads and walked through the...
Were they older?
They were probably in their like late 30s. But they were like the hiking couple. Mm-hmm. They were like had their whole packs, which, hey, not hating on that. That looks like a lot of fun.
They're going to grow up to be the 90-year-old couple swimming in your pool.
Maybe they are that couple.
Yeah.
Maybe that was...
I was trying to.
You needed more mushrooms to formulate that thought.
I was about to say, maybe that was the dream, and the 9-year-old couple's not. Maybe, you know.
And then someone, Men in Black, flashy stick you.
And end up back at Togo's.
Done.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Hey, it's so my pleasure.
This was fun, and it's so funny to watch people, whether it be in a TV show or a commercial, whatever, and you just have no idea what their backstory is. So I love the fact that you come from improv, that you're still putting out funny stuff, and you're not the AT&T girl, that you have funny, crazy thoughts. And sometimes you're just, what was you said earlier, just looking to make a dick joke.
Just want to make a dick joke.
Other Space premieres Yahoo.
April 14th. Yeah.
Is there a time that it's going to drop, or is
I don't think there's a time. I don't know.
Are they doing all the episodes? I know some of the...
Yeah, they're going to do 8 episodes at once.
And it's a great idea. Who doesn't want to watch a workplace comedy in space?
I can't think of a single person.
There you go.
The ones I can think of are very stupid.
Mm-hmm. Maybe my mom she might have dropped off. That might be one listener you lost.
But not if you tell her that it's your future wife. Listen, my future wife is in this show.
She'll love that.
Yeah.
The fact that she already thinks you're adorable, by the way, when I told her, and the fact that you're Jewish, I mean, we're joking, but that just, like, took things up a notch.
Oh, God. I'm so lucky that my parents are like, no, marry a tall person. You need someone to reach things for you. That's their only.
That's literally what they tell me. They're like, it's two dwarves in one house. What, it's going to be all bottom shelves?
Are you attracted to dwarf women?
Mm-hmm.
And tall women?
And tall women.
Have you dated both?
Yes.
And do you have a preference?
No.
Cool.
It's just whatever. It's and
I'll just take anything.
I'll just say, does it have a vagina? It has a vagina. Good. That's all I need. I'm saying vagina too much. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have a preference at all. It's just I've dated, the shortest girl I ever dated was 3'5", and then the tallest girl I ever dated was 5'11".
And how tall are you?
I'm 4'4".
5'11"? I don't think I knew that about you.
Yeah, 5'11", a volleyball player from USC.
That's cool. That's big to me. 5'11".
Yes, pretty much. I look like I look like one of those dogs that most women carry around in their purses.
Like she like maybe she like, loved that.
Yeah, she
everyone's
just,
got a fetish.
She was just walking around with me, and people were like, "Wow, what breed is that? That's very interesting."
It's the only way I know how to make it in Hollywood.
So yeah, I have no preference.
No. Are there live shows here, like UCB? Is there anything else people can your website?
I've been doing
Vintrub. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Vintrub. Yeah.
Vintrub.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just on Twitter. I'll post if I'm doing like stand up or a character thing around town.
Are you a big tweeter?
No. Yeah. I'm a big grammar. I love Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
And they can follow you on Instagram at your name?
Mint Milana.
Mint Milana.
Yeah, MintMilana.
I just got a candle that's thin mint flavored, and it's maybe the greatest candle I've ever purchased.
Do you like mint ice cream?
Love it. It's my favorite.
Gross.
Wow. And that was the moment the relationship ended.
The wedding fights begin.
She didn't listen to my story.
He likes mint ice cream.
And then she rolled her eyes incessantly for an hour.
Wait, is there anything in the book about like ice cream flavors being like a deal breaker?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. There's still chance, Brad.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you again for coming.
Thank you guys for having me.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had last. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.